Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have the very active and moving Loz Antoneco. And Loz is a professional speaker, multidisciplinary lifestyle coach, author, and a full-time life enthusiast who helps busy individuals get the out of unstuck. And I don't mind saying the word, but it's got a little asterisk in there, so it's guess what the word is. With a background in overcoming personal health challenges and building multiple award-winning businesses, she brings a wealth of lived experience to evidence-based coaching and mentorship. So a fun fact that I found out is her number plate appropriately smells. It could smell something or it could spell something, and it spells misfit. I love that. And that could be taken so many ways, Loz, couldn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. That's why I chose that specific combination.
Yeah.
Interpret it as you please.
Loz, you're walking while we're doing this. Why? Tell us why this is so important for you to be on a treadmill while we're...
My question is, why not, Janine? Why not are we not all walking and spending more time standing? Because sitting is a sport that our bodies absolutely are not designed to do. And sitting is causing premature mortality amongst a very large amount of individuals worldwide. And if we can just walk a little bit and do it while we're doing something productive, not everybody, I guess, can walk at 6 kilometers an hour like I can and be productive. But something is better than nothing, and 80%, 60%, 40% of something is better than 100% of nothing. So, yeah, my question is, why isn't everybody walking?
I love it. I hadn't considered it from that angle, but yeah, it's not the thing I do in my office, but it definitely is the thing that I do outside in the world
and excellent
through parks. And I'm very, very fortunate here. My property backs onto bike paths and parkland, and so I can continue to walk, and if I walk far enough I get to some wetlands, and there's pelicans and a whole lot of birds, and which is very nice to be able to do. Yeah,
lovely. And I guess if you've got the facility to walk outside, and I do too, like I still walk as well through the neighborhood, and we've got, you know, a beautiful pathway system here and lots of birds and trees. But, you know, for me, being as active as I can, incidentally, and making it so seamlessly effortless that it feels silly not to do it, you know, to me, it's like, this is a safe space for me to do this. And, you know, it doesn't matter how far I go or how fast I go, it's better than the alternative. It doesn't mean that I don't sit in the day, but it's just picking your battles, right? So today I'll get, you know, quite a lot of steps in over a short period of time. And it's all bonus stuff.
I have a lot of energy. It's that bonus stuff. It's the, whenever I've traveled on a cruise, I've always had this rule, and it's a rule on everyone I've done, is I'm not allowed to catch a lift.
Yeah.
I have to walk up the stairs. And when you're on the third floor on the bottom, you know, it's sea level, and breakfast is on the 15th level every day, and you've had a really good night the night before, you sort of go, oh, is this worth it? And
yeah,
by the time you get off the cruise, you know it has been worth it.
Yeah, that Lido deck is a very long way away when you're on the third or fourth deck, I tell you. But these are the little decisions that in isolation don't feel like much, but when we stack all of these little daily decisions together, I mean, this is what our life is made of. These are our habits. And, you know, this is the stuff I live and breathe every day and, you know, and I'm completely obsessed with. So, you know, find all of those opportunities and incidental ways that you can get more of these things in your life so that you can live a happier, healthy and more vital life where you have performance, focus and confidence at the forefront of everything that you do, because this stuff matters.
It absolutely matters. It's the same when if there's an escalator and there's stairs, you know, take the stairs. And they're just little components. And, you know, now at my age, I've got so many other friends that are in their mid-60s that are old, and their bodies are just old. And
yeah,
not that, you know, by the time you get mid-60s, there's pain in the body, trust me, but it's not that there's not, but it's not restrictive. Whereas, you know, that's, it's just a, and then an old body creates an old mindset too.
And you know, vice versa, right? Like it's a gratitude attitude, and what happens between these two things here, you know, plays a big role in how we set ourselves up for success, especially when it comes to aging well. And, you know, 9 out of 10 deaths in this country, in Australia, are due to chronic disease. And that's a scary statistic when you think about it. So, you know, if we just looked after ourselves a little bit better, just a little bit better, we'd probably relieve that burden on ourselves and a system that is collapsing from exhaustion, trying to support people that, you know, don't necessarily have that attitude when it comes to aging. And, you know, for me, being in a space for nearly 20 years doing mobility equipment before I moved into full-time speaking and coaching, it really was this wake-up call, seeing people come in to buy a mobility scooter or an over toilet aid, and they're not even old. They're, you know, between 35 and 65 with these chronic comorbidities caused from poor lifestyle choices, whether maliciously deliberate or not,
yeah,
due to a lack of education or an overwhelm or no giving of two shits, you know, sideways. Mm. You know, it's quite a scary thing to recognize that this is really happening all around us. And, you know, we sometimes see it from the periphery, but when you get stuck and embedded in that as you get older, it's very hard to reverse that. It's much easier. I mean, prevention is better than cure, right, Janine? Mm-hmm. So it was a big wake-up call for me to go, okay, well, you know, I have pain. I have a chronic pain disorder. People don't realize that. And, you know, I've been dealing with that for over 20 years. But movement is medicine and motion is lotion. And, you know, you are what you eat. So as cliche as that sounds, all of these things matter. And when you're showing up to your business, in other parts of your life, when we can eat and breathe and sleep and move and hydrate just a little bit better, just to a state of good health, you'll be surprised how quickly that releases that glass ceiling of potential you have been operating under for probably longer than you'll admit.
I love that. It's so incredibly important. I know I taught aerobics in my 30s for 10 years and I've always exercised. I used to run, my body doesn't handle the running anymore. But I remember my brother-in-law said to me when I was heading towards 40, he says, so, you know, how long are you going to keep this up? And I just thought it was one of the dumbest questions that he could ask, because, well, forever. I couldn't see a reason that you'd stop. And other people have commented over time. And, you know, I hop in and visit the friends that live in my area if I'm out walking at the end of the walk, and I'll pop in and have a cuppa or something. And they, not that they've ever made comment about me walking, but they've never in 20, 30 years have said, I might come with you, you know? And now they're the ones that are
struggling.
They are struggling. Struggling, and it's painful to see, but the consistency that I've had all that time has made a difference now.
Really. And that's the thing, right? Like we all know what we should do. I mean, as you touched on before, Janine, I don't know how we went down this rabbit hole, but anyway.
I know, we'll come back to everything else. It's all good.
But we know we should take the stairs instead of the lift, because, you know, we know that it's good for our health, and we know that we should do these things. We should park our car further away, that we should drink at least 2 liters of water a day, that we need 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night. I mean, blah, blah, blah. We know these things, but then we do those things once. And the reality is once isn't enough. And these seemingly insignificant decisions, as I said before, are what our lives are made of. They are our habits. And we become the byproduct of our daily routine and our habits. So it's all about repetition and consistency and finding an easy method. Every person's different, because what might be a walk in the park literally for you could be an absolutely mammoth task for somebody else. So it's about surrounding ourselves with the kinds of people that we want to be around. It's less about what we want to change and more about, you know, who we are, who we want to be, you know, all of the circumstances and the peripheral things around that, and making it so easy for ourselves that you would actually feel silly not doing the thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know what, you see what I'm saying, right? Like,
absolutely. I love that. And, you know, it's never, ever, ever, ever too late. You know, I've heard people talk about starting running marathons in their 80s. You know, the best time to have ever started was, you know, 40 years ago, but the second best time is to actually start now. So
exactly. And the best exercise, people say, oh, what's the best exercise I should do? And I'm like, the one that you're going to do. Lowest hanging fruit, like pick one battle at a time, pick one of those habits. Don't go and try and eat it all at once because you'll choke. Yeah. But if we just simplify to amplify, and this is the premise of all the things I speak about, simplify to amplify, do one thing, do it again, do that for a period, find another habit, do that. And then you'll incrementally, step by step, moment by moment, action by action, habit by habit, completely transform your life. You know, I couldn't walk 4 years ago. I actually was using a wheelie walker and a patient lifter to get out of bed because I have an autoimmune dysfunction. So I've got all weird, wacky genes. And I developed a condition called ankylosing spondylitis.
Sorry, developed that? Had you always had it and then it got debilitated?
I have a gene that is a bit skew-iff. So yeah. I'm very susceptible to developing other types of autoimmune diseases. So I have this gene, it's called HLA-B27. And basically when they diagnosed that in me from another autoimmune disease, I said, look, just letting you know that you have a very high susceptibility to lupus, multiple sclerosis, a whole bunch of other inflammatory conditions, forms of arthritis, and this thing called ankylosing spondylitis. So I'm like, sweet, gotcha. Thank God that kind of tipped me over to live a more healthy life as part of the reason. But yeah, halfway, it was like 3 weeks into lockdown, not halfway, 3 weeks into lockdown in 2020, I was exercising in my house and I only had access to a very limited amount of weight. I was lifting very heavy in the gym at that time, like 120 kilos heavy.
Right.
And I had 10 kilos available. So instead of doing, you know, heavy weight, I did more reps. And for some reason, because I had this predisposition to this thing, whatever it is I did and the amount of reps that I completed, it triggered some inflammatory episode in my body and basically activated this disease. And it was horrible. I could not get into a specialist because of all of the COVID rules. And yeah, it took me 10 months to get an answer. I self-diagnosed because I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is what I got. This is the thing they said I could get. But by the time I got to a specialist, I basically sorted out all the inflammation in my body just following those principles of healthy habits. So I have avoided medications and other forms of pharmacological intervention by living a healthy life. I still remember how debilitating mentally that was not to be able to move. I couldn't even get out of bed, Janine. Like I needed assistance. Coughing, breathing hurt. I mean, it was the most mental anguish. You know, I've had a lot of physical and mental, like I was a widow from suicide, you know, that stuff's hard. This was a whole other level because you felt completely out of control of what you could do in your body. Right. And, you know, building myself back up to that, it made me start to make different decisions moving forward. So, you know, I hear people and they come to me and they go, I'm in pain or I'm old or I can't do that. And I will call BS on that because there's so much you can do. It's all about being flexible in your thinking. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that there are multiple ways to achieve a similar outcome, it may just be that you're welded to a certain route to get there because you don't know what you don't know, then thinking outside of the box and being creative and being flexible, nimble, and agile means that we have a better attitude when it comes to dealing with challenges as we get older. And so, as you said, lots of people start doing these amazing things at older age, but I think socially and culturally, we've got this construct of age and what that represents. And, you know, we've fallen prey to these generalizations and boundaries we put on ourselves that actually aren't true.
No. And that, yeah, coming from the mindset or the belief is, I'm with you as well. And we'll go into possible discussion on manifestation as well, because I think.
Why not?
I think we might be in that space too. I'm thinking, you know, I've been part of a not-for-profit public speaking group for 20 years. Why do I keep going? Because of the inspiring people that I'm involved with. And, you know, we had a meeting last night, and the theme was wonderful women. And just the meeting theme, you come home, you know, 10 o'clock at night, absolutely lifted up. I could have sat in front of the TV all night instead, but I don't. You know, I'm out in because it lifts me up. It inspires other people, inspire me. And people say to me, you're everywhere all the time. I've got about 8 Christmas parties in the, because I'm just involved in a lot of networking groups over the next 2 weeks. But going and being involved with that is what gives me energy.
Yes.
And to be able to do other stuff. And that's what I think people miss, is they closet their world.
And COVID has done that, I think, especially through the working at home system that we've been caught in now, where people have isolated and siloed everything into like, okay, you know, I do all this stuff at, you know, at home, and they're not getting out, and people have really retreated. But I think that there are certain personality types. I mean, I'm like you. I guess my biggest challenge is that I seem to tend to zig and zag with my energy. I'm very erratic with my energy, and you know, it's all, and then I have to rest and recharge for a bit, but I get topped up by being around people like you do. But finding your tribe, I think a lot of people don't really put enough emphasis on that. And I mean, there's no such thing as a self-made success. It is always the people that are around you, because I mean, if you hang out with 5 negative, you know, glasses half empty, cynical human beings, well, the chances are you're going to become the 6th, right? So if we can actually cultivate collective consciousness and think about, okay, well, what kind of person do I want to be? Who do I need to bring into my circle of influence that's doing those things? Because success leaves clues, right? Who else can I learn from? Who might be on a similar path but further along that path? Maybe I can get there quicker. Maybe I can take a back route, whatever. But I feel like that in itself is more powerful than I think people give it credit to, because that really, as an energetic frequency that we all vibrate on, is like this recharge facility that people forget to tap into. And when you're in your own space and running your own race and trying to stick to a lane, and it's head down, bum up, and you're trying to power through all on your lonesome, it can become a lonely journey that you never get to share the success with other people through, and you never get to experience other people's success as a consequence, which subsequently can energize you to be successful. So it's this synergistic relationship we all have. But, you know, I know that I'm preaching to the choir here at this point. I'll get off my soapbox now.
Oh, yeah. Look, and I love that soapbox. It's all good, because I think it's such an important thing to be reminded of. And that's one of the reasons, you know, when I'm speaking to different people in the interviews, everyone has a different way of delivering sort of the same message that I speak to, but it's how it's heard by different people and how that they relate to that and connect to it, and what decisions they make as well. But yes, hanging around people who are successful, it's really interesting. I play golf, and sometimes I'll play with some, and it's just randomly in the who you're assigned to. But sometimes I'll play with some high handicappers, so some not skilled golfers, and I'm just average. Then my game becomes, it's not as good. When I play with really good golfers, my game's better.
Yeah.
It's funny, really, hey? Interesting fact. Absolutely. And it's like that with anything that you're doing. It's that lifting you up to another level, so that you are with the people that can perform at that level.
And it's
simple,
it's
as golf.
It's simple, right? Like, and it applies to everything. I mean, humans, we have mirror neurons, and so we absorb energy and you know, I guess traits of other people, because we are like a monkey see monkey do kind of entity. Then you know, we reflect back and then absorb and take on some of those traits. And so that's what those mirror neurons are about. That's why when we match and mirror people, you know, with coaching, you know, it's you'll find that happens. You'll be sitting in a certain stance, and then all of a sudden you recognize that the other person's doing it, and you're kind of like mirroring each other. And it's the same with, you know, high performers. And as we said before, the average of the 5 people you hang around the most. So it's an interesting concept. And you know, I think if we're isolating ourselves continuously, it's very hard to get to experience new ways of being. I mean, I certainly attribute the way that I am now compared to the way I was even 5 or 10 years ago to the fact that I'm hanging around a completely different cohort of individuals. And, you know, it has really helped me hone who I am in my story, owning my identity, really showing up authentically, being able to use language that I would have previously censored and sanitized because it comes from a place of passion and purpose. But, you know, a lot of people, they're so scared. I mean, oh, what's such and such going to say? And they're always concerned about other people's opinions. And I feel like if we live a life like that, we really are quite detached and misaligned with the person that we actually could become and the influence that we could have and the way that we could inspire others to lead a different life as well.
I had a conversation very similar to that with a client that I was coaching yesterday. And because, you know, if anyone checks out my Facebook page, will know I've got set opinions on certain particular topics, and particularly in 20 and 21, when, you know, 30% of the country was locked out of different venues, and lots of things were happening around that time because of the health choices that we made. So I was fairly active, and the amount of people, I had someone come along and say, look, you know, I've heard someone commenting and they don't want to deal with you because of those comments. And then I've had so many more people go, Janine, we know how honest, we don't may or may not agree with you, but we know that you are speaking what your belief is, your truth. And that's all we can do, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's an organic filtration system as far as I'm concerned, because I think that if you are empowered and brave enough and courageous enough to have a conversation and own an opinion, I mean, we live in an era of free speech and wokeism, free speech and wokeism and AI, the hand gestures in conference calls. But, you know, we've got this disconnect between these polarities of our society where we're encouraged to speak up and have an opinion about things, but also there's more conduits than ever for people to be able to have an opinion about your opinion and shut you down. And I think that if you just blank out the white noise and just embrace the fact that you're going to have haters no matter what, no matter what way you swing your opinion, there is going to be someone out there with opposing opinion. I mean, how amazing is that? That we have free speech and opinions and we're able to have conversations.
Luckily we do. In Australia, a bill just got shut down this week from we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
When this is going to air. So fortunately we do have opportunity to have an opinion and not be fine.
And why not embrace the fact that we actually have that? But I think the more that you let go of there's a book by Mark Manson which talks, you know, the subtle art of not giving a you know, he's also censored that word, which I normally would say.
You can say it on there. I don't mind.
Oh, great, great. But, you know, he talks about not giving your fucks away to things that don't matter. And I think that book for me was this poignant moment in time where I was like, oh, my God, I'm giving away so much of this energy and this bandwidth to shit that doesn't matter. And, you know, I've been trolled. I've been stalked. I've been embraced and supported. And all of the juicy goodness of the rainbow that exists between those two polarizing ends of the spectrum, I mean, that's where all the work happens, right? And people are saying the same shit over and over again in this world. As you said before, you know, we're all saying the same type of thing. It just comes from a different voice. And, you know, you may just not be someone's cup of tea. And I always joke and say, I am more like the finest wine drunk from a dog bowl. that is how I come across, right? So it's one of those things where, you know, if I'm not your person, great. Find your tribe, because they're actually saying the same thing. They want the best from you, just like I do. Yeah. But if we are not engaging and we are not in synergy and we are not bouncing off each other's energy in a way that's going to be positive for the both of us, that is also a-okay. So here's some other people that might align a bit better with your worldview, your perspectives, your belief systems, and your values. Thank you and see you later.
Yeah.
You know, with grace.
Yeah. Look. Going from what you were saying, selling accessibility products,
yeah,
previously. To now coaching and everything that you're doing, and being open with opinions and ideas, and is so where what happened, Loz? What got you to what you're doing now?
So I've always worked for myself. You know, I'm one of the world's worst employees. And as a child, I started my first business at 15 years old. So I've always had this really entrepreneurial spirit, this very solutions orientated mindset. And I seem to break things down in a very methodical way. So I ended up, you know, finishing high school, being good at everything, unfortunately, which is not me tooting my own horn. It's a challenge because you don't know where you should go from there. You know, I was like, captain and in teams for things, you know, music, sport, physics, maths, drama, English, all of these things, right? So I ended up getting a scholarship into university in IT, which back when I did it in the very early 2000s, it was, you know, any area in STEMs was, you know, majority males.
Mm.
So I got a scholarship as a female in that space. And I remember being in a cohort of about 400 students, and there were very seldom level of girls in that room, very small. And, you know, I didn't feel like I fitted in. I was a little bit extroverted, a little bit opinionated, had a great time, made some great friends, learned some amazing stuff and developed some cool skills. But I really struggled through my university journey trying to find what it is that I wanted to do. And for me, what ended up happening is as this high achiever from a young age where I always had to try and please my dad to earn his love, that actually took its toll on my body. And halfway through my uni degree, I started getting incredibly unwell. Can't sugarcoat this, started pooping blood, thought I had bowel cancer. Rapidly lost weight, got to 40 kilos. And I had to make this really tough decision to either continue with my university studies at the high level of stress I was at with my body and my mind at just tipping point, or to take a break, reassess, get better and make a decision. So much of the disgust of my father, I took some time off, got myself better, and I'm doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
Got diagnosed with a condition called ulcerative colitis, slapped on the bum, sent out of hospital, put on corticosteroid drugs and a gluten-free diet. What that eventuated in is 26 and a half kilos of weight gain, hated myself, felt like shit, got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. I've accumulated more medical acronyms after my name than anybody should have to remember. Not even kidding. Self-medicated with drugs, you know, marijuana, alcohol. And I was told by the medical system that I was okay because I wasn't sick actively, even though I wasn't well, but because I wasn't acutely sick. So I went back to uni, finished my degree, and I was just so unwell. Despite getting accepted into two amazing jobs, writing feminist policy for the Office of Women and the ACCC, I stopped and started a business with my dad. So we started this mobility equipment business in our town where those things weren't available. And I just sort of cruised along, being just a bit crap, feeling meh, but, you know, I wasn't actively sick. So I just got told that I had to embrace this as my new normal, feeling disgusted with myself. I was always having issues with my hormones, always having issues with my gut, and I couldn't manage my stress very well. But I had normalized a really high level of stress at this point in my life as a young 20-something year old. Met the man of my dreams, got married, built a house, did all the things you're supposed to do. And then in 2015, 2016, three completely pivotal things happened in my life that would change the trajectory from going north to going south. So the first thing that happened is my father and I had engineered my entire existence around his expectations and belief systems. We had a physical altercation in our workplace that resulted in him hitting me in the face. He went absolutely off the charts. He split up from my mom, tried to send me into bankruptcy, wrote me out of his will. And like, I lost this part of my identity.
Wow.
In one fell swoop. 6 months later, my husband committed suicide.
Goodness me.
At the same time, my grandpa was sick in hospital. I'd never lost a family member at this point, and he passed away. I thought he would be the first family member I would lose, and he passed away a month after my husband.
Goodness.
So in six small, short months, very masculine brain, masculine energy, right? All of these paternal figures that I had modeled my life off disappeared. And I didn't know where I was, who I was, which way was up, which way was down. And I felt like I was drowning. I had this business that I had to keep afloat that was doing quite well. So I pulled myself out of my business, put some employees in, grew up, like put my big girl pants on. And I had an amazing psychologist, thank goodness, through this entire process. And she said to me, Lauren, these things that you're going through right now, they're going to take time to heal. You need to go find something that you can do, that you feel like you have control over. And so that is when I started going to a gym.
Right.
Properly. Yeah. And so I went to a gym and was on the treadmill like this, half an hour before closing time. This is pre-24/7 gyms in the community I was in.
Yeah.
Did that for a bit, got introduced to lifting weights. And then I started talking to the other people lifting weights, which were middle-aged, sweaty, stinky blokes. And they were really positive. And I'd never had positive conversations like this with anybody in my life because I was quite the negative Nancy. I was like the glasses half empty kind of person. I had a really weird, warped sense of humor. I was an atheist. I just hated everything. But you can clearly see how that reflected in all of the things that happened in my body. So
that's what I'm thinking straight away.
Yeah,
the body's rejecting all of that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so because this toxic relationship that I'd had with my dad, which I can now see it for what it was, had exited my life and I had this opportunity to start fresh, you know, I'd started developing these new communities. We started talking about nutrition. I realized I had a sugar addiction because of all the gluten-free food that they put sugar in. So over 6 short months, I started unpacking my life. I started losing weight, of course. I got fit. I felt great. I started developing a positive mindset. I read self-help books, went to Tony Robbins, walked on hot coals, did the rah-rah, downloaded the apps, read the books. And then I decided to do the most logical thing that anybody would do in a crisis. And there, I'm being completely sarcastic at this point.
I was waiting for that to drop then.
I decided to do a bodybuilding show. So,
okay.
I mean, what seems more rational?
No pressure.
Well, what seems more rational than standing on a stage in something that leaves little to the imagination, being compared completely on the way that you look next to a row of strangers by a panel of strangers with zero regard for what you've been through, what you've sacrificed, and all the pain and the drama that's up before that. So I went to do a bodybuilding show and that turned into this obsessive part of my personality, which decided to do 13 shows in 14 months.
Wow.
So I zig and I zag. So most people do one show every 2 to 3 years, not this ADHD. I went completely opposite. And then I developed an eating disorder. I was addicted to this metric of success where I had 100,000 followers on Instagram. I spent 7 hours a day on the internet, building up all of these external gratifications, you know, getting people to make me feel good all the time with numbers and metrics of likes and follows. And the inside I was drowning, but my business was doing well-ish. And unfortunately, that is very normalized in that culture in the fitness industry. Most people are doing really unsustainable things to look great and get, you know, external validation from the community. But they're doing some really, really unhealthy things to themselves. So luckily for me, I got sick again. They diagnosed me with a brain tumor. I ended up getting a hole in my heart. I had to have heart surgery and you can't make this shit up. And so I stopped. I just went cold turkey.
I'm just lifting them on my fingers. I've run out of fingers here.
Right? Yeah. But this is where the journey turns to this stage that I'm in now, because some of the last advice I got from my last coach at my last show before I decided that this was just a bad move, I wanted to have a glass of wine. And she said, babe, why don't you think about snorting cocaine? Because there's no calories in that. And like this penny dropped for me where I was like, oh my God, I am so entrenched in a toxic culture that is keeping me locked into this vortex of really bad habits. So I stopped and I decided that I would learn how to get myself unstuck. So I studied personal training and fitness. I became a personal trainer for me. And then I was like, well, PTs can't talk to people about life. So then I became a life coach. Then I studied nutritional modification and the cognitive behavioral therapy. And over the span of about 18 months, I studied 13 different modalities with no intention of ever helping anybody or ever getting on stage and speaking about it or writing a book.
This high achiever thing's happening there again, you know. So that's, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do everything.
Yeah. Well, it was just like, the thing is, every time I learned something, I realized how much I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so it was just a whole bunch of me search. It wasn't research. It was, I needed to get myself unstuck. But slowly and surely, Janine, I changed my life completely, radicalized it. And when people started to notice and were like, how did you do that? And I went, I don't know. I just did the thing that I do, which has never stopped. I realized that this wasn't actually normal. This wasn't a natural progression for most people. So being pragmatic and solutions orientated and systems based, I actually went back over the steps that I'd taken, turned it into a process, created some tools, some intellectual property, as you may, and then turned it into a book, which is now the premise of all of the things that I speak about. And what I've realized actually is that none of this transformation came from these big sweeping statements of, you know, the more complex the solution, the bigger the outcome. No, it was actually that it was these tiny, seemingly insignificant things that I started making decisions about. The first thing I did was actually start to prioritize sleep. That was the first thing I actually did. And then
important,
most right? Important. And then it was food and exercise and breathing and hydration. And so I sort of deconstructed that at this point. So I've sold that business just not that long ago this year, depending on when you're listening, if we come from the past or the future. But that was a huge turning point for me to exit that business, because that business had basically determined my identity all of my adult life. And letting go of that, and so over 70% of women-led businesses collapse. They never get sold. So I'm already in a really special group of women who've managed to sell a business. But I think everything I've learned, I always talk about, we need to reframe failure as feedback. We need to consider failing forward and also look at every experience, whether negative or positive. I call them situations. Okay. A situation. Yeah. There's always an opportunity to choose to squint for the silver lining. If you've got to put your frigging glasses on and choose to squint for that silver lining, you know, and get your eyes right, it will be there. And I talk about how, you know, my husband's suicide was the best thing that ever happened, because it forced me to open my eyes to the fact that there is a whole other part of life out there that I would never have gotten to understand, appreciate, or experience had I continued down that path. Because if I continued down that, that's exactly where it would end, right? So I've remarried. My husband is 15 years my senior. I now have a granddaughter. I'm Gma to a seven-year-old. It's awesome. She has no idea. But, you know, it's living this life, this unstoppable life that I get to embrace every day, because nobody dreams of average, right?
Nice.
Nobody dreams of average. And we have so many reasons to have excuses to just maintain this mediocrity, this vanilla beige average life. And we have more tools than ever at our disposal to make our lives easy. But most people choose to make them hard by being lazy and having excuses.
Well, look, yeah, having excuses is definitely agree with you there. Laziness, when, yes, we know things take effort. And you have to be, you have to apply, to change your habits, and you have to apply to do things. But I also think, Loz, people don't know.
Agreed.
They just aren't aware that there is an alternative.
Well, there's so much knowledge out there, right? But I feel like what's happened in our space is it's become so clouded by people trying to create new and exciting things that are desirable, that, you know, encourage us to purchase and procure because we think it's the quick, easy fix. It's the silver bullet. And I really believe, as you've just touched on, because I do agree that we need to make things more simple. I mean, no amount of 4 a.m. wake ups with a 2-hour affirmation meditation session, handstands, push ups, ice baths, and saunas is going to fix your life if you don't get enough sleep, proper sleep, if you don't think about what the heck you're putting in your mouth and fuel yourself effectively, if you don't move your body mindfully, if you're not breathing adequately because your posture's crap, and if you're not drinking enough water and maybe too much wine and too much alcohol. So those peripheral things are great if you're doing the basics at an okay level. And I think this is where the system is clouded, because there's a lot of misinformation out there that's fueled through consumerism and capitalism, where everybody's out there to make a quick buck and try and be different. But just come back to the basic stuff. I mean, we are just basic biology, chemistry, and physics. And if you apply those laws, you'll find that it's much easier to get unstuck than you probably think.
And I brought up the word manifestation before, and I think that you know, you've touched on that. It's and for those that have listened to me on, you know, the podcast in the past, will know that sometimes the universe, God, whatever the belief is, you know, we'll get hit with a feather and we may not pay attention to it, and then a brick will come flying at us, and it's a very good time then at least to pay attention, because that way you avoid the truck that comes afterwards.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate if I get feathers that I just try and pay attention. But most, you know, so many people, and I say most, so many people aren't aware that they can think differently. So it's not that there isn't information out there, they're doing some things, and but they think differently. And I'm just thinking about, you know, people I know when we're talking about on this health journey, they don't think, they're not open to expanded ideas, but they don't realize that they can be. It's not that they're purposely closed off. They just don't know that there's a way to step back and look at themselves and look at their lives and not just be in it all the time. And I think that's where a lot of people get held up. They can be doing all the right stuff, but they're not getting any changes because they're not aware. It's probably.
I think awareness is important, but I also think that culturally we've normalized just this sort of boxed in version of ourselves that, you know, what you're told by the powers of be is gospel, and people don't ask questions. I mean, my saying is question everything, right? Question everything, because literally, like, I have stamped on all of my medical records, non-compliant patient. It's terrible. Like I have seen that many specialists, oncologists, endocrinologists, like the list goes on. And you know, they tell me one thing, but they look at your body in terms of like very separate systems, and they don't ever consider that this system might be talking to this system, which is why you have this problem.
Yeah.
And I think that when you are so entrenched in a sense of stuck, and like there's a global study that basically says that 78% of people personally and professionally feel stuck in their lives. They studied over 14,600 individuals. So most people are experiencing this sense of stuckness. Whatever it is that they're feeling stuck in, it's irrelevant. But I think that we live in an age and an era where there is so much information overload and content pollution by people with big mouths, big budgets, and giant soapboxes who aren't necessarily well-informed, who are very good at marketing, who own all of the bandwidth that's going into people's brains. And until that culture changes, it's going to be very hard for people to understand that they actually have the capacity to question the things that they're being told. But it's a choice as well. And who you surround yourself with, coming back to that, will help you realize, like, if I hadn't have gone to the gym and gone and lifted weights instead of going on the treadmill that one night, I would not be here. But it was this beginning of this change in the people I surrounded myself with and the conversations that I could have and the questions that I started asking. Instead of asking myself, why me? You know, what's wrong with me? I was asking, okay, what can I do? What can I learn? Mm. What information do I not know yet that I probably need to go looking for? And I think when you start to cultivate an inquisitive, curious mind, which we all probably did that as kids, but you know, I've got a tattoo. It comes from a book called The Secret, and it's a quote, and it says, "Remember to remember." Like there was a time, like when you didn't have this imposed bullshit thrown on you, and all these lenses of expectations and cultural social norms, and you know, all of these rules. Like, remember to remember that time existed when there was a sense of innocence and this sage, you know, in you where everything was wondrous. Because we all have been there at some point, but we just forget.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's a very good point. You know, part of like I hate it when someone uses the word like, and I've just used it twice following each other.
Like whatever.
I think I was going to use it as a simile, though, so anyone that's listening,
that's fair. Keep on me. That's fair.
Okay. To achieve what you've achieved now, and you've touched on it, it's habits, but give us a little bit more, you know, is there a way for people to develop better habits? Because yeah. I'm assuming that's part of what you help people with.
Yeah, that's exactly what I help people with. So the thing about habits is that we all have them. And there's five key habits that we all have that I focus on specifically. So that's our eating, our breathing, our sleep, our movement, and our hydration. And I call these handbrake habits because they act like handbrakes on our life. Now, I don't know about you, but I have driven a car with a handbrake on before. And as you said, like you said you had an issue before and you had some issue with your car because you were tired. Like we all do these things. Yeah. And like for whatever reason, these things just happen. And I remember a time I was driving my car down a motorway and it was a 1986 Celica. And I'd even like gone to the trouble of putting pinstripes down the side because that was cool. I had the pop-up headlights. And my handbrake was on, right? And I had the music up, I had the windows down, and I was singing along. But my car actually overheated and made this terrible sound and had this smell. And I pulled over, and it cost me a lot of money to get that car fixed eventually.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we can drive our car with the handbrakes on, but we move barely.
Yeah.
Most humans are like cars, though. Most of us are existing, not living, and, you know, surviving instead of thriving. And we are moving, but barely. And if we can just release some of those handbrakes and just pick one, right? Like if we just pick one of those handbrake habits, if we just pick our eating, for example,
yeah,
and we focus on that, and that's the only thing we focus on, what will happen is we start to gain momentum. And when we gain momentum, it's much easier for the other handbrakes accidentally and incidentally, like in a domino effect, to unlock themselves. So I guarantee you, if you just started concentrating on, say, understanding how to eat more effectively for your body, you will probably accidentally drink more water, less alcohol, and less coffee. It will just be a natural progression. I guarantee you, if you start to assess what you're eating and your hydration improves, you'll probably sleep better. And I'm pretty certain if you thought about what you were eating, you drank enough water, and you got enough sleep, you're probably going to have a lot more energy to want to move your body more. And if we underpin that with good breathing habits, because breathing is something that we all do and don't pay attention to most of the time, you can see how this system starts to integrate and it develops its own momentum to give us this sense of being unstoppable. Because when we finally remember to release the handbrake, Janine, like we feel like we can go anywhere and do anything. And this is why I use this example, because we're all so busy trying to, like, you know, Atomic Habits, right? Like I love Atomic Habits by James Clear. I have quotes. I have his pens, 1% better every day, right? I have quotes all around my office, and it was a really important part of me developing my own version of this.
Yeah.
He talks that it's such a minute amount, and I'm like, okay, but what about the stuff that we're already doing? Like, let's focus on the big five, because I know most people do those things really suboptimally. So if you show up to challenge having done all those things a little bit better, it will be so much easier to overcome challenges, because you're giving yourself some level of physiological buoyancy that your body actually needs. Like without all of those things, you would actually die. You would have motion starvation. Your muscles would atrophy if you didn't move enough. If you don't breathe, well, you know how that one ends. Same with water, you know, and most of us, we get told all of this stuff about, you know, we need to do this and we need to do that, and this thing's evil and sugar's bad and fats are bad and carbs, you know what I mean? Like, but
yes.
If yeah. we bring ourselves back to the basics, and I'm an evidence-based coach, right? So I sift through the bullshit for everybody. And I've walked the talk, like
yeah.
I'm going through this with you, if not before you, right? So I've done all the hard work, but it's so much more simple than people think. And I'm not talking about radical diets. I'm talking about understand why protein is important. Understand that as we age, our calorie needs decrease and disproportionately our protein needs increase. If you put on weight through menopause, it's probably because you haven't done anything to do with your protein and your calories.
Mm-hmm.
We need fats. Fats are good for our brain. They do not make you fat. Motion is lotion. Get off your ass, do a bit more physical activity, whatever that looks like. We should all be strength training, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like fact, fact, fact. And I think that's the thing that people really love about what I talk about, because I cut through the bullshit. And, I'm not about to say, hey, you need to do all these elaborate, convoluted, complicated extra things in a day that you've already jam-packed to your eyeballs full of things. You know, if you're a busy, time-poor individual, which most of us are these days, because we wear this big badge of honor that says busy, you know, like, why the heck and how could you possibly add more stuff into your day? Because if you start making people do extra stuff, it's not going to probably happen for the majority of people. They're probably going to do it, as I said, one time and then drop off. So like, make it so easy for people, piggyback off habits you already have, and just focus on getting it a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And you'll find that that compound effect over a period of time, it will dramatically change your life.
Yeah, it's just those 1%. It's the same in business. It's the same in life. It's the same with what you're talking about. It's that 1% and just doing 1% better each day, and it makes a ton of difference. We could talk forever, Loz. There's so many topics that we seem to we'll definitely agree on, and we could, and if we necessarily not recording things either, we could really get stuck into a couple.
Yes.
But there's three takeaway points. If you can just remember what they were when we originally spoke, that's usually what I ask people for. And I think we've just covered one really well, was hacks to optimize daily habits, which is one that you've shared.
Yeah.
The second one, do you remember what that was, or will I tell you what you wrote down?
You tell me what I wrote down, because I'm thinking about the next thing.
Okay. The transformative power of simplicity was number two, and number three was steps to become unstoppable. And because my book is Being Unstoppable, yeah, I absolutely love it. And I included health stuff in it because I talk about health in business all the time. You can't, they have to be associated. So, so that was transformation power of simplicity. So if you expand on that just a little bit, and steps to become unstoppable.
So the transformative power of simplicity is that we need to run from the complexities of our life and embrace the simplicities of the intricacies of the things that we do every day. And my premise of that is simplify to amplify. Don't make things more complicated than they have to be. Pick one of the basics, do it, and then do it again, and do it again, and do it again. And if you do that, you have change. And if we just start to think about change that way, we would all be in a better place.
Mm. Yeah, and the steps to become unstoppable.
Ah, yes.
I think we've covered so many of those.
We have. Well, the big thing I find with people is that when people hit a crisis, like in a crisis, we have this tendency to reach for these silver bullet solutions, but we overlook the fundamentals of the things we do every day, which are your handbrake habits. The big challenge is that when we are stuck, which 78% of people are, we go and do like the 12-week challenge, the Tony Robbins, all of these big, like, oh my God, I'm doing the thing. And you tell everybody about it, but we try and jump from stuck to unstoppable in one fell swoop. Mm-hmm. That is the mistake that people make. We need to add a step in between. There's three steps. First of all, work out where you are stuck. Meet yourself there. Because when you're honest and you're pure and you get in touch with the authentic reason why the heck you are stuck, it allows us to then go, this is the baseline. This is where we are. We can then start to measure outcomes. So the next step is to decide what unstuck looks like. So define what stuck is, decide what unstuck looks and feels like. It may just be, I just want to get out of bed without an alarm. I just want to get out of bed on the first alarm. I would like to bounce back better when I get sick or I'm stressed. I just want to have enough energy to get through my day and not fall on the crutch of alcohol or sweet things. I mean, whatever that is for you, define it. And then the third step is to design unstoppable. So, you know, it's when we get unstuck, it's so much easier to move to unstoppable. And so once we've established a great daily routine with our five non-negotiables, our five handbrake habits starting to release, becoming unstoppable, which is all about performance and bio-optimization and doing the amazing things we would love to do and, you know, all of those fantastic things, it's so much easier to get to that. I actually have a diagram when I speak that shows people this wellness continuum. And when people see that, like, okay, this is why I keep getting stuck, and they yo-yo between stuck, unstoppable. And it just means that you're less setting yourself up for failure, and you're probably less likely to injure yourself physically and mentally, because you're not putting all these unrealistic expectations on yourself about what you ought to be and what you should be doing. As Tony Robbins says, stop shooting all over yourself because you're making a mess.
It's one of the things I talk about too, is when you shoot all over yourself.
Yeah. So that three-step process. So, you know, you work out where you are, meet yourself there, work out what stuck looks like, identify that, define what unstuck looks like, and then design unstoppable. And that's a three-part process. And that is the steps.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. And so how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn a little bit more?
Well, I love a good chat. I am a helpaholic and a self-proclaimed infomaniac. And so if you love a good chin wag or you want to learn more, the best place to go is actually loslife.com. If you put a .au on the end, you'll get to the same place anyway. But on loslife.com, it explains the way we help people get unstuck. There are three different ways that we can help you get unstuck, depending on how much work you want to put into it. People want cheap, fast, and easy, right? So that's the best place. But if you want to learn to engage with some interesting things and you want to get to know me and live vicariously through my wacky, unstoppable life, social media is a great place to find me. You just type in Loz, A-N-T-O-N. Your algorithm will fill in the rest.
Okay.
You don't have to know how to spell it, but it's a yellow background. It is me doing this. It is not Photoshopped. That is the real deal with my face. But come and find me anywhere. I love to chat and connect with new people and keep people inspired to live their best life.
Excellent. Well, you said Loz Life something for the chat. What was that?
Oh, lozlife.com is my website.
Yeah, but I thought you said something for the chat to listen to you about what you do.
Oh, yeah, so that's just social media.
Oh, that's just
so if you look up my name on social media, you'll find me. But I do have a YouTube channel, which is about to be updated very, very soon with lots of cool content. So you can look up Loz Life on YouTube as well.
Awesome. I'm sure people will be interested and they will go looking for you, Loz. Thank you so much for
thank you.
An enjoyable conversation. I say this 100% of the time with every interview. We could talk for ages and how the hour goes so fast.
It does.
Incredible. It's because it's, you know, really interesting conversation that it changes people's lives and changes people's approach to life. So
it's been an honor and a pleasure. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Loz. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to go to JeaneVosper.com and book a complimentary strategy call. Talk through some ideas that you've got, something that might be in life or business, and I guarantee if I can't assist you, I have got a huge range of people that I can put you in contact with who might be able to help you through those challenges in your life and your business. I look forward to you joining us next time on the next conversation of the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeanine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.